Cliff Schechter is the founder and the president of the PR firm Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller The Real McCain, and of course the podcast Unprecedented. Fantastic commentary on today's politics. It is Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us today to talk about the North Korea situation. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how are you, Matt?
I'm doing very well. You know, there has been so much news overnight because of what happened there in the summit. I want to start by saying, though, that as much as conservatives are screaming that all Democrats are doing is being negative, the reality is Donald Trump talking to Kim Jong-un, period, there is a positive to that. Any president, any foreign leader sitting down with Kim Jong-un is a good thing under the guise of trying to resolve problems. Also, Kim Jong-un's decisions to, at least he says he's willing to look at peace on the Korean Peninsula, willing to look at denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Both of those things are good things. But that being said, that was about the only positive you could take out of this whole thing. The rest of it was concessions. It was bad. There was nothing there at best. It really was Trump's desperate attempt to make him look like he's some sort of grand diplomat.
Right. So there's a couple things going on here. First of all, I'd be a hypocrite if I said it was bad for any Republican to sit down with Kim Jong-un and try to accomplish something, which I wouldn't say. So, for example, if we had elected Mitt Romney, who, as you know, and people know who listen to me come on your show for years, I'm very much not a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
But is he an adult? Does he know how to wear, clothes that fit him, ties that don't go below his something I can't say on your show? And I mean, does he look like an adult? Does he act like an adult? Do you know that he has the best interests of the United States at heart when he goes to sit down? Yes. Or Colin Powell, or pick 50 other Republicans. I come up with a whole list. John McCain, I've wrote a whole book criticizing him. If he were in the good health and he were our president, I'd be all for him going and sitting down there. The difference is I'm sorry. No, it doesn't make me a hypocrite to think that the Mango Man baby going and sitting down, not knowing what the hell he's going to say, is a good thing. And look at what's already happened. He's already sat down and said he said that they would stop having joint actions with South Korean military. Apparently, he said that went completely off script. So he promised something he had not checked with South Korea on, because God forbid the king himself have to check with South Korea, embarrassed them. Then his own administration within 24 hours was saying, no, he didn't really mean it. Make it so that he made a liar of us to South Korea. He got up and said unbelievably stupid things about how great this guy is and the chemistry they have and how, he's a good leader and all these things you don't say about somebody who's starving their people to death and basically committing genocide. So, there are reasons to not want Donald Trump to do this. Namely, he's a moron and doesn't prepare the way he said he wouldn't prepare, goes on his instincts, which, by the way, suck. So, no, I'm not going to accept that comparison. If it were any Republican, I'd accept the people saying you're being a partisan. Second of all, what the preconditions are of sitting down are, in fact, important. People compare it to Obama going to Cuba, which I very much was in favor of. Well, again, a similar situation where we're not going in where there's somebody who doesn't have to even promise they'll stop launching missiles over Japan and South Korea. I don't remember Cuba launching missiles over people recently. I don't remember them threatening their neighbors. They're a dictatorial regime who's done terrible things, if not the genocide committed, in North Korea or ongoing. So I wouldn't put it on the same level still as North Korea. And yet, even if I wanted to say that they were equally as bad, they're still not threatening people. They don't have nuclear weapons. It's a different situation. So again, you need to compare apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
If we set these preconditions and said, absolutely, it's good to talk, but you need to bring something to the table. And if you bring something to the table, by the way, we'll have this conversation with you, but we'll send somebody who literally is not a 4-year-old to talk with you, I would be all for all of that. So send Mitt Romney and send him somewhere that agrees to stop launching missiles over people and give us some other things. And I'd say absolutely thumbs up, but not this guy and not in this situation.
Yeah, Trump's words for Kim Jong-un have been far more positive and complimentary than for Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, for God's sake.
Exactly.
And that is just all. And that's within 48 hours. That's the insanity of it. This agreement that was signed, once again, Trump is touting a lot of stuff here. There's no guarantees. There's no nothing. not only is this basically almost a carbon copy of an agreement that was signed by the North Koreans 25 years ago, which they never abided by, but when Secretary of State Pompeo basically, he put out, the day before the summit, he was putting out a list of things that North Korea had to basically do for us to get any sort of agreement with. I mean, this was tough talk coming out. To my knowledge, North Korea has not committed to doing anything at all that was on Trump's must-have list before they'd be willing to work hand-in-hand with the Koreans. This really was a capitulation by Trump and a sack. You know, he sent all the concessions came from the U.S.'s side.
Well, gee, I mean, was one of the conditions they had to buy something from the Chinese company that Pompeo has an interest in that he didn't disclose?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's the thing, is that you're dealing with such corruption here. Again, we're not dealing with a normal government. We're not even dealing with, you know, George W. Bush's government. Again, one that I was plenty critical of, but went through the normal procedures of when somebody was ethically compromised, they did not get into the administration. And we don't know what these people's interests are, because with the amount of corruption among every group, every one of them, from Pruitt to Zinke, again, to Pompeo, I don't know what his interests are, so I don't know what to trust. And I mean, and that's a huge part of the problem here, too. But again, yeah, this list, I mean, look, they can't even write their own speeches at their conventions. They rip off Melania's speech from the former first lady. I mean, so to think that they're going to actually come up with some new list on their own, anything that involves like maybe spending an extra hour or two in the office and ordering pizza is too much for them. So, you know, they're like, let's just copy it from somebody else. I mean, again, like, this is not a real operation. Mm-hmm. It's a Potemkin village. It's a joke. So to think that they're going to, you know, that we can rely on anything they're going to do, this, you know, again, I talked about this on the podcast today. If you understand the grand theory behind Trump, and that is that he's a six-year-old who has never gotten past the phase of everybody look at me, I need attention. And if you understand that he also has the morality you tend to have then, when you don't really get the way the world works, he still has that morality. Whereas if Kim Kardashian comes and meets with him, he'll actually pardon the person she comes and asks because she's famous.
Yes.
And that at the top of Trump's list is a famous person took a picture with me and said nice things about me, and I feel dead inside. I always have felt like my dad's spare parts because Fred Trump Jr. was supposed to be the big shot, and I was always the moron. So anybody famous, no matter why they're famous, saying nice things about me is a win for me. That applies to Kim Kardashian. That applies, you know, to Lou Ferrigno. It applies to Kim Jong-un. It doesn't matter who it is. So if you understand that that's the grand theory behind Trump, that decides his domestic policy, his foreign policy, you understand that this was a win for Trump. He got to go somewhere where a foreign leader runs his country with an iron hand and everybody looks at him with stars in their eyes or otherwise they'll be killed. And that guy said nice things about Donald Trump on TV. That will explain everything to you about Donald Trump. That's why he's blubbering about how great the guy is, because he made Donald Trump feel good inside. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump was on every TV and a foreign leader was saying nice stuff about him, whereas Trudeau didn't say nice stuff about him. So it doesn't matter if one is Canada and one is North Korea and what their countries have done in the past and what their respective leaders have done. It matters what they said about Trump when they were on TV and how it made Trump feel inside.
Yeah.
That's the key to understanding everything about him. So for Trump, this was a win because he got what he wanted.
Maybe we can get Max Headroom to save the national parks.
Seriously, that's what you need. Think of creative ways to get stars. If we could get Brad Pitt to be like his chief of staff for 6 months and do photo ops with him where Brad Pitt would say nice stuff about him, we could solve global warming. We could pass any gun control we wanted. We get all sorts of stuff. I mean, that's the key with this guy, which the Russians have known for 30 or 40 years, as you know, which is why he's been in either a witting or unwitting asset of theirs for that long.
Let's go back to the one thing you mentioned there. He broadsided not only the South Koreans, but his own military. His military would say, we'll get back to you when we figure out what the heck he's talking about. That is his own military's leader saying, we have no idea. He pulls out, and clearly, once again, when you look at this whole thing, Kim Jong-un saw a president who is desperate for the optic of looking like he's some sort of diplomat.
Like somebody accepts him and likes him, and
He's fulfilling the big boy role of president. And Kim Jong-un played that. That's why he rearranged his schedule the day beforehand. That's why he had him scrambling. And Trump was so desperate that Trump starts offering up things in press conferences, which he should have never done. This joint military actions that the United States does with South Korea have been been the check to keep North Korea in place. It'd be one thing if we had a signed document saying, here are the dates of the denuclearization, here's when you guys can come in and inspect. We don't have anything close to that. And so for us to take off our big deterrent off the table is wildly irresponsible. And once again, the South Korean and Koreans and the Japanese are both asking, what the heck are you doing?
Right. I mean, exactly. There's nothing concrete that was gained from this. Again, Donald Trump gained what he wanted. You know, I mean, if you again, people forget sometimes that foreign policy, what, you know, I think we all take foreign policy more seriously because we realize what can go wrong and what can happen in this world. And we're all sort of mature, three-digit IQ'd adults who sort of sit here and think about these things. But if you just accept that for Donald Trump, foreign policy is no different than anything else he does in his life. So, you know, when he cheats on his wife, he doesn't do it with just some random nobody. He does it with Playboy bunnies and he does it with porn stars. Why? Because they're famous people. They've been on TV and in magazines. They must be important, right? When he takes a picture with somebody, it doesn't matter if they're somebody impressive or whatever. He's got this list of B-rate goofballs chasing him around like Joe, you know, like Chachi, you know, from Joni Loves Chachi. Why? The guy was on TV. He must be important. If you understand, you know, his administration is filled with people that Heather Nauert at the State Department the other day, who said, you know, was talking about how close we've been with Germany since the time we invaded Normandy Beach, forgetting that we were fighting Germany at the time. She thought that was a joint operation, apparently. Why? She used to be on Fox and Friends. Like, this is his whole theory of life. So why would foreign policy be any different? If you've been famous in some way, you're important. And if you're important and you say nice things about Donald Trump, that makes that dead hole where a soul is supposed to be feel good. Mm-hmm. That's all that happened here.
Well, there is one other little nugget that happened. I don't know if you caught this. Aaron Rupar at Think Progress did catch this. After he's been up for like 25 hours and he's sitting there doing this press conference, someone asked, what will happen if none of this comes to light? And Trump basically admits, I'll never admit I was wrong. I'll find something else to blame. And it's a very telling line there that, you know, it's just he's only concerned about the entire point of this was never about denuclearization of North Korea. It was about Donald Trump big boy playtime.
Yeah, it's so funny. I literally was just about to quote that line because, I mean, if ever you wonder why Russians, Chinese, other people, I mean, they probably use Donald Trump like they have a cardboard cutout of him for like how to turn a foreign asset. What are all the weaknesses you look for? You know, you look for vanity, insecurity, you look for impatience, you look for people that are corrupt.
Narcissism.
Narcissism. You look for gluttons, for food, for women. He has every negative, every bad trait I think a human male can have. And he's so dumb, he can't even hide it. So it's all transparent. So it's so classic. He gets up there, he's like, yep, it'll work. It doesn't work. You know, I'll probably make an excuse and won't admit it. It's like, He's so transparent, he can't even lie effectively to us. He basically just says, yeah, you know, I'm this pathetic guy and I'll do this. So, I mean, again, as you're pointing out, this is all just an exercise in silliness. It's all he feels good because he did something nobody else, you know, would do. And he got attention for it. It's just like any stupid antic he pulls on, you know, or did pull on one of his reality TV shows or anything else. That's what he judges things by.
He's a 5-year-old coloring the walls. That's it. Yes. And looking for attention.
And people that try to delve any deeper into this, like the New York Times, like he's been preparing for this his whole life. I mean, I'm just like, are you guys freaking kidding me? I mean, I just want to sit there and shake my head and be like, do you look in the mirror when you write these things? Do you, I mean, I mean, again, go find a playground near you, go there and watch Recess. And watch how some of the 4-year-olds act towards each other when one of them kicks sand on the other one because he says something not nice about him. That's it. That's the level of depth you need to get to understand Donald Trump.
No, don't
it
even
go deeper than that.
Don't go to the kindergarten. Go to the candy store at the mall, the one that has all the real candy in it, and see the kid that – watch the kids get dragged out of that place. That's Donald Trump. I mean, it's unbelievable. Since you're here, let's talk as well. Before we forget about the nightmare that was the G7 conference – let's get into that briefly if we can. Trump goes out, his entire policy, I mean, talk about ignorant. He looks at the European Union members of the G7 and Canada and says to them, here's the deal. you have to open your markets like you're the a United State, and you have to allow our products in with no tariffs and no limits and no nothing, and then we will put tariffs on your products coming into the United States, and if you don't do this, then we'll shut down the U.S. market, which, by the way, that kind of, you know, shocked a lot of American investors. And none of this matters. I mean, the Canadians actually, the United States has a trade surplus with Canada. We actually benefit from the yep. Canadian relationship. And all you're doing is he's running into the burning house and throwing gasoline all over everything.
Right. I mean, again, what he always does, you know, because he, as he said himself when he went to North Korea, he doesn't need preparation. That's for fools. I mean, again, the relationship with Canada particularly is one of the, I mean, it's up there certainly with the United Kingdom. And France, he managed to offend two of those three on this trip. You know, some of the most important relationships this country has had, certainly in the post-World War II environment, it's what's kept, at least somewhat, kept peace in the world and prevented future nuclear war. But again, like to think that he even comes close to thinking that deeply about anything, you know, he did what he does. He went in there, and to him, it is a personal slight. You could see it, that idiot that went on Fox on Sunday for him and Navarro, I can't remember the guy's first name, and said, you know, there's a special place in hell for Trudeau. You know that Trump actually wrote that line for him. I mean, you know
right? He did, yeah.
Yes, because he had to insult Trudeau. I mean, again, Trudeau, much like Obama, is everything Trump has always wished to be and can't be, right? He's the guy the elites love. He's attractive. He's smart. He's accomplished. He's all these things, you know, that Obama was and that Trump has never been. And so Trudeau, I'm sure, on top of everything else, makes him angry because of that. But again, these guys, it doesn't matter the historical, you know, historic relationships we've had with them. None of that stuff matters at all. Again, what matters is they didn't just give in to Donald Trump's demands and they said something bad about him on TV. And again, nothing can be worse than that. So he refuses to sign on to this agreement, the communique, and again, behaves like a petulant child because that's all he knows how to do. I mean, if we look through the lens that we're talking about right now to everything Donald Trump does, I promise you, it explains everything, mm-hmm. you know,
and
it explains why he freaks out when someone like Trudeau criticizes him, because it's the elites that never would accept him, still not accepting him. It's that hole where his soul should be.
And by the way, that one the trade representative from the Trump administration who said that he's going to hell, Justin Trudeau is going to hell, is dramatically trying to walk back that statement now, saying, "I just got the best of me." It's like, what the heck are you talking about? No one should ever use phrases like that when talking about world leaders and trade policy, you idiot. So
right, I mean, we're just lucky most of these places that he's done this with have adults, but all these strongmen he's so fond of. You know, if one of them ever does criticize him, he ever has a falling out with one of these strongmen who's you know, an actual bad person like him, God knows what'll happen.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
An Erdogan or a Duterte or one of these guys, Orban or one of them. I mean, you know, who knows what the hell they'll do? And that's the danger, of course. Trudeau, at least, is an adult, and we don't have to worry. You know, he handled it with the grace and class that somebody like Justin Trudeau handles it with. Same with Macron, you know, that they are people that aren't clueless. But I mean, you know, right now there's a bunch of dictators running important countries in the world where bad things can happen, you know, and it would be nice if we had an adult in our, you know, as our president. But this is what we got.
We're going to spotlight this interview, but I also want to make sure we highlight the Patreon podcast, Unprecedented. You guys talked about that today?
We did. We talked all about, you know, a lot of this kind of stuff.
All right.
You know, the grand theory of Trump, as I call it, because it's just no deeper than that. It's so simple. You know, and again, that's why everybody's figured it out and exploited it for years now, which I'm sure Mueller will be telling us more about at some point soon.
Unprecedented. Once again, the podcast is on Patreon. It's on iTunes. I'll link to that as well. It's Cliff Schechter. Cliff, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. Top notch today, my friend.
Thanks so much, Matt. Always my pleasure, buddy.
Take care. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Let's take a break and come back right here on AM 950.